The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning. If you've just tuned in, it's good to have you on board. Very shortly, we'll have the very latest appeals and information from Ungada Giacana. That's part of Community Garda information every Tuesday morning after 10 here on the 9 till noon show. Let me go to some of your comments. Hi, just to add to the topic you were discussing before, 10 of Carew. I'm a recently graduated dietitian from a course in the UK. The HSC have made an incentive for us that they will take us on as a dietetic assistant until the registration is granted. Just thought I'd say this, as it's new to the system. Perhaps same could be done for OTs at ETC into the future. Yeah, indeed, that makes a lot of sense. Dreadful to listen to these ladies. Why would any organisation seek curriculum from 2009? We are all aware that's been updated. Surely references from working life should take precedence. Ireland and legislation policy is the ruination of all systems, of course. There must be some, but the extent of such in Ireland in all sectors is appalling. Hi, Greg. I think the introduction of Carew has a lot to do with the issues around professionals not being able to be recruited here. I'm a social worker and I was registered with Carew. However, as a part-time social worker, I was required to complete each year a continual professional development portfolio. This required a lot of extra written work over and above our daily work. I had no problem doing courses to keep my practice up to date. However, the extra work to stay registered just became too much. I've now taken time out due to personal reasons and deregistered. Recently, I was offered a job in social work but declined, as now to re-register with Carew, the amount of retraining I would need to do is completely ridiculous. Carew is simply a joke and their expectations on top of heavy workloads is just unrealistic. I think a lot of us are learning about Carew for the first time. Exact same situation with the National Teaching Council of Ireland. Another, it's the same issue with Chagask and DAFM for qualifications for agriculture. It's very frustrating. Another, Northern Ireland courses and qualifications should be recognised in all of Ireland, of course. And you would imagine, is there not some provision within the Good Friday Agreement or something whereby a mechanism would have to be put in place to recognise Northern Irish qualifications by default? Okay, let's have an argument about Leeds, Liverpool, London, whatever, all the L's. But certainly on the island of Ireland, as the Good Friday Agreement not given provision for these courses to be just recognised. Did Highland Radio ring the Minister of Health yet? Otherwise, it's pointless preaching to the converted on radio. Minister's office, of course, has been contacted. And we're not preaching to the converted, actually. What we're trying to do, and I respect maybe your point is coming from a position of frustration. Who's been talking about this? You know, this is a situation that we are trying to highlight. I don't think there was a general knowledge across the whole county that families were struggling as they were. Of course, the families know themselves. Of course, those close to them. But across the general population, did we know about Carew? How could I even question the Minister for Health on Carew if we hadn't had the conversations that we were having and spoke to people, great young professionals who will work in the UK because they're frustrated by an unworkable, it seems, or very difficult to work with system here. I get your point, but we have a platform here and we're talking about things that I don't think really have been talked about extensively for over a prolonged period of time before. Just before the break here, this might have been discussed before. If you're leaving Letterkenny Shopping Centre and heading over the Pierce Road at the roundabout, what's the correct lane to be in? Road markings seem to suggest that you should be in the inside lane, but a lot of people use the outside lane, just wondering what is correct. So as soon as I mention things like this, lots of people will give us the instant answer. So if you're leaving Letterkenny Shopping Centre and you're heading over the Pierce Road at the roundabout, what's the correct lane to be in? Road markings seem to suggest that you should be in the inside lane, but a lot of people use the outside lane, just wondering what is correct. Now, I would throw my hat into the ring here, but I'm terrible on roads and I have a fair idea which one the Pierce Road is, but I don't want to put my foot in it. So I'll leave it to our wonderful listeners out there. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts, or call an 07491 25000.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. 17 minutes past 10 on Tuesday, the 12th of September 2023. It's time for the latest edition of Community Garda Information, and we welcome into studio Garda Grainne Doherty. Grainne, thanks for calling in. Great to have you back in studio.
Good morning, Greg. Good to be here.
Right, okay, quite a lot to get through today. So we'll start with that shocking incident down in Donegal Town on September 6th.
Yeah, so Gardaí and Emergency Services attended the scene of a serious road traffic collision. This happened in Donegal Town on the evening of Wednesday, the 6th of September. In and around 7:50pm, a car struck an outdoor seated area at a licensed premises there on Tyrconnell Street. So one lady aged in her 60s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to be treated for serious injuries. A man and a woman also in their 60s were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital. They were treated for injuries believed to be non-life-threatening. So our investigations are ongoing. Gardaí are appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this incident to come forward to speak to them. Anybody who is travelling in that area off Tyrconnell Street, Donegal Town, between 7:30pm and 8:30pm, and if they have dash cam footage, they're asked to make that available to Gardaí. Anybody with any relevant information is asked to contact Ballyshannon Gardaí on 071 985 8530, the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111, or any Garda station.
Yeah, and I mean, because it's such a local incident, we know there is people that have mobile phones out and all that type of stuff. So it's to make sure that anyone who has any footage at all, because it'll have to be a full and thorough investigation by Gardaí, that make that available.
Of course, and Gardaí have spoken to a vast number of people already and have taken statements from a number of people. But just if there is anybody out there who has even footage on their phone and they feel, look, there's no point me submitting this, the guards probably have it already, don't presume that. Just come in and offer the footage forward, you know. Could be a great benefit.
Okay, the next appeal is in relation to an assault on the Donegal Road.
Yeah, this happened on the Donegal Road, Ballybofey, on Saturday the 9th of September. This happened quite late at night, between 11:25pm and 10:30. So a man is believed to have been assaulted by two other males at that location. And these males left the area on foot. They took off in the direction of the main street, Ballybofey. The injured man was then taken by ambulance to Letterkenny Hospital to receive treatment for injuries, none of which are believed to be life-threatening in nature. So we're appealing to anybody who may have travelled on that stretch of the road, the Donegal Road out of Ballybofey, who had a dash cam between 11:20pm and 11:45pm, to make contact with Gardaí. If anybody witnessed this incident or if they have any relevant information, we ask them to contact us in Letterkenny on 91 67 100, and the area in which this incident happens actually across the road there from Mulrain's factory.
Okay.
Because it's quite a large area, the Donegal Road, so just to narrow it down
so
a bit.
Down further, a bit from Anthony Conlon's place.
Yeah, just along there, yeah.
Okay, get you. So that narrows it down a little bit, very useful. Okay, your colleagues in Ballyshannon now investigating an incident criminal damage.
Yeah, this incident happened at Bachelor's Walk, Ballyshannon, in the early hours of Monday, September 11th, sorry. Shortly after midnight, a rock was thrown at the window of a house in that area and the window was smashed. So we're appealing to anybody who may have been in that area, who had a dash cam again. We're always appealing for the dash cam footage. It's invaluable to us. If they could make this footage available to Gardaí, and again, look, if anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area, we would ask them to contact the Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530, or the Garda Confidential line is always 1800 666 111.
Okay, I'm not sure it's completely unusual, but we don't hear about this type of theft in Buncrana all too often.
No, it's quite an unusual one. It's usually thefts of cars that we appeal in relation to. So this one is a theft of a caravan. This caravan was stolen from the rear of a property in the Ballymacarry lower area of Buncrana between 7:30pm, on Thursday the 7th of September and 8:30pm on Friday the 8th of September. This caravan, it's an Adria Adora 532 model, and it's white in colour and has some sort of blue wave patterns along the sides. So we're appealing to anybody who believes that they may have seen this caravan in transit. Now, again, it's not unusual at this time of year to see caravans in transit.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. But if anybody do believes that they may have seen this one in that area being transported, contact Gardaí. Should anybody have any information in relation to the current location of this caravan, or if anybody's offered one that sounds similar for sale on a second-hand basis also, we would ask them to contact the Gardaí in Buncrana. You know, it could be totally legitimate, but just let the Gardaí know anyway and they can check it out.
Yeah, and in a case like that, it's very important the buyer beware, because ignorance of something is not a defence, and they could end up losing the property that they've paid for it to be returned to its rightful owner. Potentially, what I'm saying is so it's very much in the purchaser's interest to ensure they are satisfied it's not stolen.
Of course, yeah, and it's quite an expensive item also. You don't want to be out of pocket for that amount of money. So just if you have any suspicions at all, you see one for sale, or if you're offered one for sale, sounds similar, just alert us and let us know and we can check it out.
Okay, motorbike too also stolen.
Yeah, this Yamaha motorcycle. Now, we've only a partial registration so far for this, 98DL. This was stolen from the rear of a property in the Bonamain area of Bridgend. So this happened between September 5th and September 11th. Now, this homeowner had been away, and upon their return, unfortunately, they discovered that their motorcycle had been stolen. So we're going to ascertain further details of this motorcycle and post it to our Facebook page when we obtain that. So we're just asking anybody, if anybody's seen any sort of suspicious activity in that area, Bonamain, Bridgend, between those dates. So that's between September 5th and September 11th, just to alert Gardaí. And if anybody has any relevant information or any knowledge as to where this motorbike may be stored or kept at the moment, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540.
And I suppose a reminder for us all that just because something's pulled around the back of the house in both those instances, it doesn't mean they're secured just because of the location either. So we have to make sure we can extend our security right around our property.
Yeah, well, this bike was actually, and again, I'm not, we often say this, we're not proportioning any blame whatsoever to the owner of this bike, but it was left in an unlocked shed while the person was away from home. So again, just a quick reminder too in relation to locking up. We're always talking about locking up your house, ensure doors, windows are secured, but do the same with your shed. I mean, people have such valuable items in their shed.
It really is.
On moors.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's astonishing, really, we do. And how many of us have a lock on our sheds? Definitely worth a bit of a security review, especially as we head into the shorter nights. I don't want to depress anyone with the, you talked about the weather, but you know what I mean? It is the cover of darkness. It's got that name for a reason, isn't it? And those involved in criminality will use that darkness cover.
Of course, and then usually going into this time of year also, you know, unfortunately the rates of burglaries often start to increase, and then you have implements in your shed, ladders, crowbars, implements that people could use to break into your property also. So please just always ensure that your shed is locked.
Yeah, good advice. Okay, now a theft incident on the Grantia Road.
Yeah, again, Gardaí and Buncrana are investigating this one. This happened in the area of Riverview on the Grantia Road, Buncrana, in the early hours of Friday, the 8th of September. So we've pinpointed it down. CCTV has been viewed. This happened between 1:40 a.m. and 1:50 a.m. So a male entered the rear of a property, and he entered, actually, he went in and out a number of times. He stole 6 vintage milk churns. He was accompanied by another person also, and we're just appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area who had a dash cam. Again, make that footage available to us. We can go through that and have a look. We also appeal to anybody who was in that area who may have observed any vehicles or people on the move. You know, at that time of the morning, you wouldn't imagine that there would be too many vehicles pulled in or people on foot in the area. So if anybody's seen anything like that, let us know. A vehicle would have been required, really, to transport these items. They would have been quite heavy. So just contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540 should you come across these items, and they're quite distinctive items, you know. Should you come across these for sale, alert Gardaí immediately.
Now, I'm not particularly special, but out and about over the summer, I don't think I've visited a beach once, a boardwalk once, or gone for a country road walk once without a dog that's not in control, either running up towards me or Hudson or whatever it might be. Nothing happened, no barking, no biting, no nothing like that there, but the young lad does not like dogs. And it's really actually a pain. It is a pain, which is kind of coincidental then that you're talking about the control of dogs. Grant, you say there was no malice, no malintent, no damages done as such, but the boy doesn't like dogs.
Yeah,
he doesn't like strangers' dogs, and it's just a pain. And it means that we can't go down, not at this point, but it could mean you can't go down certain roads.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate then that you have to feel that you're restricted to these areas.
Yeah, and that's
also
what happens. You sort of passively avoid certain places.
Like. Yeah. I know, I understand that myself. I have a little boy too, and he's absolutely petrified of dogs. And you find yourself maybe avoiding certain areas that you would have often went to before, you know, because of dogs that aren't kept on leashes.
Doesn't matter the size of them either. Doesn't matter if it's a little toy dog or a Doberman, the reaction's the same anyway. But go ahead, Grania.
Yeah, so this is actually a guard. One of the guards in Moville contacted me in relation to this. They've received a couple of reports in very recent times in relation to this. So they received a very recent report from a lady. She'd been out for a walk in the Moville area. I think it's the Shore Walk area, I think, that we're talking about here. Now, she came across a dog. The dog wasn't on a leash. The dog jumped on her, knocked her to the ground, really. She was scratched by the dog, and then she had to receive a tetanus shot. So just this is a second similar type of incident that was reported to local Gardaí in Moville within the last few weeks. So we just want to issue a reminder, just remind the public that under the 1986 Control of Dogs Act, all dog owners are obliged to have their dogs under effectual control. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be kept on a leash. They don't have to be kept on a leash, but just keep them under your effectual control. Dog owners must be able to control their dogs at all times. So some dogs must, obviously, they have to be kept on a leash by law and wear a muzzle also when out in public. And some of these dogs include a Bull Mastiff, a Doberman Pinscher, English Bull Terrier and a German Shepherd, amongst others. So if you have a dog and you are able to control it, then that's well and good. But look, some dogs are very excitable and they approach people or other animals. And as we discussed there in relation to young children, sometimes may have a fear of dogs. It can cause considerable upset or fear. And, you know, if you feel that dog's doing no harm, you know, it is doing harm. If it's causing somebody else fear, it's causing harm. So it's certainly preferable to have your dog on a leash when you're out in public. And we just want to say also, should anybody wish to report a concern, any type of concern in relation to a dog, they may do so by contacting the dog warden. They can be contacted on 074-9125-159 or contact Gardaí either, and we can contact the dog warden then in turn. Yeah.
All right, and there are separate set of rules that apply, obviously, to Blue Flag beaches and stuff in terms of dog and dog control that people will know about at this point. We actually, again, by coincidence, Grania had a couple of calls from people in that have had near misses with people out walking. Maybe they got caught short and didn't realise the nights were drawing in as much and they didn't have high vis on them. That's me being, you know, maybe taking the optimistic side of things. But the nights are drawing in, whether we like it or not. That's the mornings as well. It's really important we're seeing when we're out and about.
Yeah, I see. It was about 8 o'clock last night. It started getting dark. Yep. It's depressing.
And if it's cloudy, it can feel darker earlier as well. It's not literally sunset, Grania, is it?
It can, of course. And then if people are so used, I suppose, look, with the brighter evenings, they're not in the habit again of putting on their high-vis gear. You know, they're not in the habit of throwing on the vest. But we would advise everybody, the nights are starting to fall. Look, remember, when you're out walking, cycling or running, even though you can see the traffic, the drivers might not always see you. You know, the time has come. Dig out your armbands, your high-vis vests. Get them on you if you're going out on or near a public road. Ensure that you're highly visible at all times. And if you're using a bike, make sure that your bike lights are working before going out for your cycle. And motorists, there's a responsibility of motorists also. Please ensure that the lights in your car, motorcycle, tractor, van, that they're all in good working order. For those who have trailers, please ensure that the lights and reflectors are all in place and that they're in good working condition. And regardless of whether you're on foot or on wheels, just make sure that you're highly visible at all times to stay safe. The RSA, I think we mentioned this before, the RSA website there, www.rsa.ie. Anybody, members of the public can log on there, open an account, and they have a section there for high visibility gear that you can order, your high vis vest or armband. So we would advise them to do that. I'm aware now Buncrana Gardaí got, they got a load of high visibility gear. They had an event recently actually where they were distributing the gear from the front of the station. So they have some in there. So anybody within that area, feel free to call in to get some. Now, I am aware in Letterkenny at present, we're quite low on stocks of high visibility gear and we're trying our best to get our hands on a few box loads of that. But if we do that, I'll let you know here and post it to our Facebook page when that stock's available in Letterkenny also.
Brilliant stuff, and we'll share that. And I mean, someone asked earlier in the week, and I don't want to put you on the spot. I mean, is it illegal to walk on the road without high vis on?
It's not illegal,
but there are sections
of high vis. But yeah. I mean, you know, you can. There are sections there where you can
endangerment
be seen to be in danger in traffic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right.
But
okay.
not to wear high visibility gear in itself isn't against the law, okay. You know. But it's highly advisable.
Listen, it's a shared space. There's been an awful lot of tragedy in our roads, a lot of it in cars, but also pedestrians, motorcyclists, push bikes. You know what I mean? It's a shared space, and no one wants to be. Either lose their life or be tied up in a fatal incident or even a serious injury incident, Grania. We all have to share it. Like.
Yeah, and we don't want anyone getting caught out now. With the evenings, with the sharp fall in the evenings now and the darkness there, anybody out in dark clothing, you know, they're taking their life in their hands, really, going out in the roads in dark clothing now.
All right. Thanks so much for that, Grainne. I really appreciate it. That's Garda Grainne Doherty there. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 12th September 23. It'll be available for you to watch back on our Facebook page and on Garda Síochána Síochána Facebook page a little later on. Back live with you on the radio after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Okay, we're joined in studio now by Connor Malloy, who's a pipe major, Letterkenny and District Pipe Band, and he has pipes in with him. They are bagpipes that you were tuning up there, is it?
Yes, Greg, good morning. Thank you for having me
what
on.
What about the volume?
So, yeah.
They are loud. No need for an amplifier for you, Connor.
No need for an amplifier for me. Well, bagpipes, I suppose, they've gone back a long time in Ireland. The first record of written record of bagpipes was back in the 1200s. So that was, they were known as the Pwee-bawr, and they were used as Irish war pipes. And then obviously throughout the centuries, then the Uilleann pipes then came along later.
So in the early incarnations, were they a musical instrument or just a way of producing sound for?
Primarily used for, I suppose, to gather troops for battle. So that's basically.
So someone was probably saying, right, I can make a lot of noise here. And eventually he says, well, I can make a tune here.
Yeah.
Probably something in terms of its evolution.
There is a myth that the bagpipes originated in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Long before, I suppose we're talking before BC, I suppose. I think the Romans came in from, invaded Britain, and this is where the bagpipes themselves originated, apparently.
And do we have an idea of what a 13th century set of bagpipes would have looked like or how they were made? I seem to recall reading when I was a child that they used stomachs of animals. Is that true?
Yes, sheepskin would be, still use sheepskin as part of, for the bagpipes. The Uilleann pipes sometimes they might use like the goat skin. But as I say, that would have been maybe sheep, actual bodies of sheep would have been used back 1,000 years ago, or maybe.
And how did you get an interest in playing the pipes?
Well, it was I suppose from where I'm from, Mayo, and there was a strong culture based around St. Patrick's Day, and then I moved to Donegal, and I got involved in the Letterkenny and District Pipe Band. So we are basically we're a voluntary cross community organisation that promotes and encourages the art of bagpipes and drumming within the in Letterkenny and the surrounding areas.
Is there crossover instruments? Like, in other words, if you can play the bagpipes, can you? Is it easy for you, I presume, a whistle or something like that there, because with the way you move your fingers, or maybe not? Like, you know, do you find like there are instruments bagpipe players can generally play also?
You can play the likes of the low whistle.
Right.
There would be similar kind of spacings between the holes on the low whistle. But I suppose for the likes of children starting off, if they were to start off learning the ten whistle, it would be probably the next progression then just to commence learning what's called the chanter. And that's the initial stages of learning the bagpipe and to knowing the actual the holes that are on the chanter and knowing the correct notes for the chanter.
So when you're playing the bagpipes, you're blowing into I was going to say tube, but there's a name for it clearly.
It's just called a blowstick.
The blowstick, right. And you're filling a bag effectively with air, and then you're pressing that bag with your elbow, and that's what's driving the air through the instrument.
Yeah, that's right. The bag itself would be like a third lung. So when you have to take a breath, that's where you squeeze the bag then.
But you're constantly, it's a constant motion of you, obviously, other than taking a breath, it's a constant motion of you blowing.
Yeah, it'd be, I suppose, a technique that you build up over
of
time.
Of course, yeah. Circular breathing or something along those lines. I'm not really quite sure what it might be. Now, I mean, we're going to talk about giving young people the option to be part of Letterkenny and District Pipe Band, but it's already successful in a spread of ages, isn't it? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we commenced our youth programme last year, and that has been highly successful. We've three young children under the age of 12 being able to play bagpipes.
Wow.
We've four or five that are able to play drums now. We'd included them in the likes of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Remelton and Rathmullen festivals. So you'd see us in different venues or different locations, even within Letterkenny, some charity events. And so it's great to see the likes of kids getting involved in this. I mean, a lot of children now are maybe would be kind of focusing on phones and iPads and computers, and this is a kind of another avenue maybe to get
But you're
them
also
away,
competing
away.
With rock pop.
That's right, yeah.
You know, trad as well. Yeah. So it's a small group of people. So to be honest, you'd have the interest that you have already. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And then, of course, there you turn up at events and people will, if they don't know, they will have seen you at one of them, even if they didn't necessarily see the logo and what have you.
The whole spectacle, I suppose, of seeing a pipe band at like St. Patrick's Day parade.
There's no parades without the pipe band.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you see the likes of younger kids involved, it adds even more to it. And when, you know, the spectators will kind of say, look at all those young kids. And this hopefully will be an encouragement to get more kids involved when they see other kids in it. Now, we're commencing our youth programme in October this year. So we would encourage any kids that may have an interest, even just to give it a go. We'd always kind of say, give it a go. If it's not for you, well, then so be it. But give it a go and see if you like it or not. It's a great way of making new friends, great opportunities. I mean, the band we competed over in Scotland.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. I mean, as well as the performances at various venues, there's a competition element of it, and you did really, really well too, considering this was a global competition.
That's right. Yeah, we compete nationally and internationally, and for the first time since 2013, the band competed qualified for the world's qualification final. Now, the World Pipe Band Championships is basically the pinnacle of the pipe band community. It's the prestige surrounding the Worlds. There are almost roughly about 60,000 people present in Glasgow Green on the day of the World Championships. There's about 250 pipe bands from all across the globe. And we successfully came third in our category against another 39 pipe bands.
And the judging criteria go beyond the music? Is it to do with...
Yeah, there are aspects that it would be to do with dress and drill. Drill and dress are two other
aspects.
Makes sense.
I was thinking that. All right. Okay. Because it also requires a nice bit of discipline as well for younger people as well, isn't it? In a fun way.
Yes, absolutely.
It's part of a team.
Yeah.
But of course, do you know what I mean? It's always nice to have those elements of it. Now, you are going to play, and not yet because we have more to talk about, you're going to play the bagpipes for us.
Yes, that's right.
Right, so is there a school of bagpipes? And then what's the bagpipes' relationships to the Allan pipes, for an example?
Okay, so the bagpipes themselves... there will be only 9 notes on the bagpipes, so there'd be an octave and one note. The Illan pipes would have 2 octaves, so you'd go a lot higher. So sometimes if you hear a piper or a pipe band playing a tune and suddenly it goes down to a lower note, that's making up for the higher note because we cannot go any higher on the bagpipes. For the Illan pipes, as I say, we have two octaves on that. The Illan pipes then, as the Illan is in Irish, it's used by a bellows. So that's basically how the Illan pipes work. So that's the difference between the Highland bagpipes and the Illan.
Now, pipes. You have 3 pipes coming from your bagpipes, right? Yes. They have to be tuned. Yes. Are they in different octaves, the 3 of those, different octaves?
They are 3 drones, so you've got a bass and 2 tenors, and they are tuned then to low A of the chanter.
Brilliant. And then when the musical variants, the note... pitching and shifting, that all comes from your fingers.
Yes, that's right.
And it throws out and then the 3 sounds out of the pipes complement each other.
Yes, that's right. Brilliant. So sometimes as well, you'd hear pipe bands tuning up and people wonder, what are they doing? It changes so much. So if the sun comes out, the bagpipes change and they have to be retuned. The sun goes back in and under a cloud, it changes again. So temperature can have a huge effect on
presumably the then that's the density of the air or what have you in the bag itself.
Yeah, the moisture as well. If there's too much rain, like the reeds within the bagpipes need a certain amount of moisture. And if there's too much rain, then you're going to have problems. If there's not enough rain, then you could have problems or not enough moisture, should they say.
Yeah, I know you're busy outside of your interests with the Letterkenny and District Pipe Band, but do you do any stuff on your own, Connor?
Yeah, sometimes I would. Yeah, I played at weddings and the likes of that.
Okay, but you enjoy that.
It does seem to be a common thing.
It is. You often see thrown up on social media, anyone know that does this or anyone knows that a lot of it is down to the bike because there's something so striking about it, obviously.
Of course, yeah. Like, I mean, even the spectacle of a piper or even, as I say, the spectacle of a pipe band itself. But the cost that's involved with a pipe band is probably a lot of people don't even realise it. Like, to rig out one piper cost in the region of €2,500.
Wow.
So that's including your kilt and so on and so forth. The likes of a set of bagpipes would cost in around maybe between €1,250.
I mean, they are a work of art, aren't they, really?
Yeah, so it all boils down to the wood that's made.
Are there variances in tradition sort of from Mayo to the northwest, for example? I mean, obviously we've got very strong Scottish connections here in the northwest. I'm not saying it isn't the same in Mayo, but are there variances around the country as to our relationship or any aspect of the pipes?
No, there's, there's quite a, I suppose, similarity with the bagpipes and with the pipe bands all around the country.
Mm. And the same in Scotland, then, I presume?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Like, I mean, a lot of, you've got an Ulster Scots tradition within Donegal, as well as a lot of people from Donegal may have gone over to Scotland working as tatty hookers. That was the same in Mayo. And that would have been brought back from Scotland as well.
And, I mean, you're trying to keep it that way and many others as well. The strong tradition of... the pipe band, the bagpipes. Outside of Scotland and Ireland, are there any other parts of the world where they are very much part of a country's tradition?
You look at North France, there, Brittany.
Yeah,
there'd be quite a strong culture there with Galician culture as well in Spain again. But they're a different type of bagpipe again. One, I think, it was Spanish. Bagpipes, I think, of only one drone. There are quite a lot of bagpipes even in Eastern Europe as well. So, for example, as well, the pipe bands that bet us over in Scotland, the band that came first was from Australia in our category, and then the band that came second were from Oman, and then we came third.
Truly global, isn't it? That's almost the three.
But it was certainly a great achievement for ourselves to come third in the world. And we bet all the Irish and Scottish bands in the category. And I think it's a fantastic way to promote Letterkenny, promote Donegal. If there's any businesses out there that are looking to come on board as we are looking for sponsorship, and this is a great great way of getting their name out there.
Mind
as well.
I see you at these events. It's huge.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and what are the musical opportunities then for young people or the families of young people who can play this interview back to them or let them watch it or whatever? So so we have obviously the bags, the drums. You mentioned those.
Drums, yes.
What other disciplines are there?
They'd be the main two things. Obviously we have the bagpipes. We have the side drums, and then you've got a mid section, which would be the tenor section. That also is also a very important, I suppose, part of the band that creates that ensemble. And that sometimes people might see them swinging sticks and things like that. That is part of the flourishing aspect of the tenors.
All right. So if people want more information about the Letterkenny District Pipe Band, so that could be A, as you mentioned, sponsorship, which is really critical to keep these things going. And we're lucky, or the people of Letterkenny are lucky, because there are other parts of this county and country that between the jigs and the reels, the tradition dropped out or people fell out. And I know there are areas that they're mad to get the bands reestablished. Absolutely, and it's difficult to get it back once you've lost it. So Letterkenny is lucky in that it has a strong, with high membership and young membership band. So that shouldn't be taken for granted. But if anyone wants to come on from a sponsorship perspective, or particularly if young people want to go, right, okay, I'll go along and see what's what. How do they get more information?
They can get us on our Facebook page at Letterkenny and District Pipe Band, or they can contact 083-209-6411. That's 083-209-6411.
And what are you going to play for us? Because as soon as you start, the conversation's over.
Yeah, perfect.
Right, so you're going to play a combination of two.
Yeah, so I'm going to play a folk song that was written back in the 1800s by a guy in America called Stephen Foster. It was numerous Irish artists have sang the song, Mary Black, Tommy Fleming, and the song is Hard Times Come Again No More.
Oh, that is that one, because I'm going to be interested to hear that. And then Into?
And the second one is called, it's a hornpipe, which was written by a renowned Irish bagpiper, Terry Tully. Now, Terry Tully was pivotal in transforming the Irish traditional music into the Scottish music arrangements of certain Irish tunes and things like that. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier in the interview, most of the Irish tunes are an octave and a half, or maybe more. So he had to arrange. He's arranged a lot of the Irish contemporary Irish music to suit the bagpipes.
Brilliant, Connor. Do you want to take position? Yeah. And as I say, if you're quick and you want to watch Connor play the bagpipes, then you can hop onto our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, or across our Facebook pages. This is Connor Molloy, the Pipe Major, Letterkenny and District Pipe Band. Whenever you're ready. Stuff. Connor, how long can you keep going at that before you need to
Suppose
that's constant, like
a set would probably be about 4 minutes in contest, but the higher grades you go up, we're talking maybe 7 minutes.
Your GP must be delighted with your lungs. Connor, listen, thanks very much indeed for that. That was lovely. I'm actually almost converted into a bagpipe fan. That was lovely. Really musical as well. Thanks so much, Connor.
Thank you for having me here.
It's our pleasure. Something different for you out there. That's Connor Molloy, Pipe Band, Pipe Major, Letterkenny and District Pipe Band. And if you want more information, either in terms of sponsorship or if you have a young person or you are a young person, particularly because this is a drive for younger people, though no one's excluded, of course. The details, one more time, how people can get in contact, Connor.
Yeah, so you can contact us on our Letterkenny and District Pipe Band Facebook page or contact 083-209-6411.
And it's cross-community and all-inclusive.
Cross-community, all-inclusive. So we're commencing our youth programme on the 16th of October. So get in touch with us before then. So basically from third class for kids from third class upwards.
Great stuff. All right, we'll be back shortly. Caller says, good morning, Greg. I got this message on Friday evening. Wonder if it's legit. I haven't opened the link. Bearing in mind, I got the smart meter installed within the past 2 weeks. Claire, let me dig in here and I can tell you categorically, it's a scam. It says, gov.ie, you are eligible for a discounted electricity bill under the energy support scheme. You can apply here. A complete scam. They'll never send a link in a text. But anyway, it's incomerevenuecreditreview.com/mygov. That's also a telltale giveaway. So it is a scam. Claire, you did right not to open it and in fact delete it. They'll never, even if they were to give you some a bit of a break on your electricity bill, they're not going to send you a link through a text message like that. So spread the word and ignore them. Thanks, Claire.